services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 276. I'm Adam, and the Doctor is required. And here's Debbie Melrose.
Say something nice.
Andy Nunney.
Right behind you and one step in front.
Mary Lang.
Try, nanobrain, to rise above your reproductive noise and contemplate friendship.
And in his usual useless internet, Kirby Barclay Sloane.
We are a democracy.
I'll just bit that one out right then.
We are a democracy.
Is that what you said?
That was brilliant.
This week we're going to be looking at The Magician's Apprentice, or is it The Philosopher's Stone, or The Sorcerer's Apprentice, or
Sorcerer's
Stone, or something like that. I don't know. Which is good. Bring to new Doctor Who. Brand new Doctor Who. Wow. It's so exciting.
Brand new, fantastic, wonderful Doctor Who.
Anyway, right, so we're going to go straight into it. But the trouble is, we haven't had Andy on for a while. I've been trying to deliberately record the shows on a time we can't do it, but Mary decided we were going to have it on Sunday anyway.
Oh, so thank
therefore,
you, and
we're
I love you
stuck
too,
with having
Pearson.
Andy on.
God,
So how are you, Andy?
Well, I was all right, you know. And all that, you know. Yes, I think you know. Tell you what, I'll send you a few of the nappies when they come through.
Oh, well, thank you.
Ew,
that's nice.
Yum.
Yum. It's a strange one. Strange reaction. I'm glad you're back, Andy.
Oh, thank you.
I tried to get Ben back, but he's doing radio shows and stuff, so it's proven to be a bit more difficult. He said he might send him some recordings, but he hasn't done yet. Mm. Yes. Right, the show starts with the BBC One ident. The ident is
yes,
a load
thank
of...
thank you for sending that to me.
Some weird things are going around in a circle, but one of the weird things is a Dalek shooting at the centre of the screen. But I haven't worked out what all the other bits and bobs are, but Debbie will know because she knows everything. Debbie,
well, they didn't show
Debbie
that
what are the other things on that BBC One ident?
No, that's what they showed on BBC One. And
hang on.
You'll find that.
Is your name Debbie?
Adam posted that.
Yeah, yes. I did see that, and I wondered why we didn't get to see it.
Because you don't have BBC One.
Thank you, Kirby.
I suppose that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Yes.
Well, we've got it settled. Adam, move on.
Yes, I was asking Debbie, what are those other funny coloured things on that ident?
The other funny coloured things, they're people cycling, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. The cyclists coming in and going around.
Cyclists
the whole thing
and packs, yeah.
Everything circles, isn't it? You think you have the one with the hippos swinging around in circles.
Yeah, and then you have the umbrellas and the people.
No, so it's supposed to sort of be the globe, the old BBC One globe in a way, isn't it?
I guess so, circle. Yeah.
But I couldn't work out what the funny coloured things were.
They're cyclists, yeah.
Cyclists. They're quite little cyclists, if you look at it, because the Dalek is bigger than them.
Well, I think they filmed from quite high up, actually.
Mm. Anyway, right, so into the episode. I've got a bit of a cough at the moment, so you have to bear with me. The episode begins with the original British drama ident, and then there's sort of some sort of wasteland and lots of people running from, obviously, a plane
Pasta.
Shooting at them. What? Pasta. That didn't take long, did it?
I knew immediately... Even though I'd heard the rumors, I could tell immediately that we were on Skaro. But when Fred and her boyfriend were watching last night, they weren't quite as familiar with Skaro. And the first thing Fred noticed was that all the technology was mismatched. And she's going, what?
Mm. Yeah, it was very Genesis of the Daleks, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yes.
Well, yeah, so obvious that's what it was meant to be. And
some soldiers are running through, and then this boy gets stuck in this sort of minefield. But it's not a minefield, it's a hand
Master?
Minefield.
Master?
I nearly got another sentence out.
Master? And direct reference to Genesis because of the minefield.
Yes, but remember this is a hand mine, Kirby.
Yes, but still, it's a minefield and different technologies in the same war.
You know, can't quite understand what the hand bit is all about, apart from being from Stephen cool. Moffat's weird mind.
He's nicked them from Pan's Labyrinth.
Has he?
Pan's Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth, yeah.
Anyway, so this little boy is told to stop where he is because he's in the middle of this hand minefield. And then as soon as the bloke tries to help him, he just gets dragged straight into the ground, a bit like...
the Silurians, that's what...
Yes, indeed.
Maybe he's still alive down there.
It was a very...
They're going down into the Silurian world, yeah. I went...
Yeah. It was nodding at everything in this episode, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that
it wasn't a great...
That reminds you that, it was great to spot everything.
Yeah, a lot of throwbacks, yes.
It was a good introduction one as well, because this was the first time I'd sat down of an evening with Isla. Yeah. And said, right, you're watching Doctor Who properly. And she loved it. So, definitely worked.
He's in a spot of bother, this little boy. And then the Doctor turns up. The Doctor throws his screwdriver at him. Misses him. So he's able to pick the screwdriver up. And then when the Doctor asks him what his name is, and he says his name is Davros.
He'll kill him with fire.
Eh?
Kill it with fire. As soon as it said Davros, I was like, kill him!
Yeah, really. Yeah, snuff this one out.
But it reminded me of a big Finnish story that there's a younger Davros in it, a little bit.
And I haven't heard those. Maybe Mary can tell us.
Is it called I, Davros?
Yeah, I, Davros. It's a whole series, actually.
Sorry, I'm just taking a sip out of my lager. Yes.
Has anyone, or actually all of you, has anyone noticed with the past several stories before this, has the Doctor been without his screwdriver for several stories, or was that just thrown in for this one?
I don't remember him using it in season 8.
He's had it, but he didn't use it very often.
A couple of times.
Yeah, he's used it a couple of times.
Has he?
It's not the magic wand that used to be, though, is it? I think that's what people have commented on the passage. You know, he's not suddenly used to get out of jail card. Pops out his sonic screwdriver. And
Like I've said, he is the new John Nathan Turner Moffat, isn't he? So Nathan Turner got rid of the sonic screwdriver. Of course Moffat was going to get rid of it. Moving on. But anyway, it looks as if, jumping ahead, that we're going to be seeing a bit of a change in time. Time's going to be rewritten somewhere along the line, isn't it? Anyway, back to this episode.
Kind
of has to. Yeah, so this really weird alien creature.
I love the way he moves.
Wrapped up snake. Yeah, but it moves like a snake, but a snake, doesn't he? Slithers. Yeah.
He stands there and wiggles. It's like, what are you doing under your robe?
I bet it was a segue.
It doesn't look very clean.
No.
Has anyone listened to the Tin Dog podcast yet? Because Michael there refers to snakes on a segue, which I thought was rather good.
Oh, yeah, I think it was. He's on a segue.
Yeah, because the way he's moving, I wondered how he's moving around. And so that's obviously... there must be enough segue under there, so it's...
There's some very funny segue accidents on YouTube. If you sort of just do a search on segue accidents, especially at cricket matches, funny enough, there's some particularly good segue cameraman accidents at cricket matches.
You know, he's made fun of segue. His movements are very much like people that drive those.
Yes. That's probably because it is, but he's on a segue.
Yes, it is, yeah.
I wonder if he's on a skateboard or something at first, but I think a segue probably would make more sense, yes.
A friend of the show, Nicole Mazza, said that she thought it was roller skates.
No. Too much control over it. It's a segue.
You don't see his legs moving, do you? That's it. I think that's why it must be.
Yeah.
The roller skate thing sort of makes sense, and Nicole would know because she... plays in roller derby.
Roller derby, yeah.
Roller derby, Debbie.
Yeah.
Was your name becoming Derby? Roller derby.
Is roller derby over there? Roller derby.
No, it's derby. It's supposed to be derby. It's just Americans can't say words properly.
But it's an American thing, so it's roller derby.
Yeah, but they nicked it from the derby, as in the horse race, the derby, which become. In America, which they can't say the word derby because they probably read it out and thought, oh, that's D-E-R, derby. So we'll change it to derby, even though it's derby.
That's a very bad accent that was, Adam, I must admit.
What was it? What were you on about? Anyway, back to the story. Yeah, so they arrive in this... Well, sorry, Mr. Snake Man arrives in this bar, which Deb says, "Hey, that's Star Wars."
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, any bar containing lots of aliens is going to be Star Wars-esque. Yeah, that music would have fitted it really well.
It was
well,
like the bar where when Ten is saying goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, that too, yeah. You expect to see Captain Jack in there somewhere.
Yeah, and Alonzo and... Yeah.
And then we see we visit the Shadow Proclamation, and it's very nice to see that actress who had the bit part, you know, in the previous song.
And one helmeted Jadoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, one, which is the only working one they had even back then.
To give Russell T. Davis a bit of a credit. Yeah, and then, of course, the Segway Man glides in and says, "The doctor is required," hence my quote.
And as I said on Facebook,
Doctor Who is required from the War Machines, Master, which we're coming up to soon in the next series of The Journey. We have actually already reviewed that one, but I can't remember if Deb was with us for that one.
He would, although he said Doctor Who is required.
Yes, he did. And then next place we visit is Sarn, and they've very cleverly managed to bring back the actress who...
Khan.
Sorry.
Khan!
Yeah, Khan. What did I say Sarn for? Khan, and they very cleverly, because I was thinking of Sisterhood of Khan, so I put the word S in there, but never mind, doesn't matter. The woman who played the, you know, the head priestess in the Night of the Doctor.
Yeah.
All very exciting, isn't it, Kirby?
Yeah. Yes. I knew that she was in this.
Well, I didn't, because I don't go around trawling for spoilers.
Me too. I like being surprised by everything.
Did you see the short prequel?
No, but I have got it because
Yes.
I've actually subscribed to Apple for the iTunes for the series pass, which is £24.99, and that series pass includes all these trailers and prequels and whatever else they decide the BBC has decided to throw in with this particular series. I've got a cough coming. Told you. So yeah, he told us. So basically, she defends the Doctor by sending him away, and Doctor says, "Doctor, what have you done?
Let's get out of here, or we'll have your..."
And then,
Master,
excitement upon excitement. Yes, Master. Kirby.
when you see that prequel, it takes place just before that, because it's a conversation between her and the Doctor, and he goes and stands next to that rock.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Anyway, then excitement upon excitement, Davros appears, and it is Julian Bleach, who played Davros on the previous occasion we saw him.
A long time ago now.
Well,
I thought it was excellent. I thought he really was playing a very weary Davros. You can see that he is on the verge of death because his mannerisms, and especially on the cybernetic hand, call it what you want. I thought that was a good touch as well.
Yes,
I love the way his head kept lolling over.
Yes,
and he couldn't hold it up,
and no more a gloved hand, but now a mechanical hand.
Mm.
Didn't he have the mechanical hand in Stolen Earth, Journey's End?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Was it mechanical or did it have a glove over it?
I think it was mechanical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look back at that because I said
yeah.
It was very unusual. Normally, Deb would say, yes, it was mechanical, and she'd get one of these. But on this occasion, she's in doubt. So there we are. We're going to do a quiz on Stolen Earth, Journey's End, just for Debbie's benefit.
Exterminarin.
And then we see... And then we see Clara. Now, Clara has got her hair is, it's getting shorter every time we see her now. And she's starting to look like she did in Asylum of the Daleks.
Yes, she is, isn't she?
Yes.
Maybe we'll tie everything together.
I really do hope that's the way they get rid of her. Because, yes, listeners, she's leaving.
To her, Dalek, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Great full circle. I like it.
My makeup is darker. She just looks like a darker version of herself.
Yeah, and also she should make some souffles between now and then, and and it'd be just like the BBC ident, full circle, and I'd really quite like that. And she spots the airplanes in the sky, which has stood still.
Mm. Then Eunuch call her at the school.
He do, yep. But they do know her, Debbie.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is a bit weird that they
think they'd have more direct contact with her than.
Yeah, but it's funny, they say, oh, it's Eunuch on the phone. They say, oh, a phone call for you. And then you answer the phone, oh, it's Eunuch. Yeah. Oh, my computer's just crashed again.
Yeah, I think it's what, I've seen one of the comments on Facebook. Is she turning into, like, de facto head of Eunuch now? Or is it, the biggest doll, I've completely forgotten her name. Is she in charge of Eunuch?
Yes, she is, yes. You're talking about Kate Stewart.
Kate Stewart, thank you. Yes, I'm completely blank on her name.
She is the commandant of Eunuch Great Britain.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that brings up something I didn't care about the episode, but I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Have you noticed also, something I hadn't noticed previously, that the shadow of the plane that you see over this square in London where Clara's riding a motorbike looks very much like the area in which Danny got killed.
Well, the end of the Tower of London, of course.
So anyway, what we haven't seen in Doctor Who for quite a long time is these little news clips that we used to always see during the RTD era.
I wish they could have brought back the old newsreader, the American newsreader.
That would have been really good just to have her back for one. But yeah, I quite enjoyed that. It was a nice little throwback to the new Who of old. That
again,
makes sense.
It's nodding. It felt almost like it was a finale rather than an opening episode, the way they were sort of showing everything. But yes. it was great. Great idea, just bringing in all these little nods to the, you know, the new Who and old Who.
Indeed. You can't be wrong with that, Debbie. Because if you were, I would tell you. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Clara arrives at Unit HQ. It's quite clever, this Clara girl. I reckon she should consider going into being a school teacher.
Yeah,
she's able to suss out a few bits and bobs. And then we got this the new Osgood, which is this woman who used to be in Silent Witness.
Yeah,
I was wondering. I liked her.
What?
Sorry, was that Cher?
What was that?
Was that
I
Cher
said just... I was wondering who she was. I liked her.
Oh, it was Cher. Yes. Oh, she's an actress, Kirby.
Did you hear me or not? I can't tell.
Well, I heard Cher saying something in relation to the story. Anyway,
I've
moving
heard
on.
About Silent Witness, but I've never seen it.
That's a great program. It's one of my favourites. Debbie's gone all quiet again. She doesn't agree with me.
No, I said it was Jay Griffiths.
Jay Griffiths, that's it. But I'm talking about how brilliant Silent Witness is.
I like Silent Witness.
Thank you, Debbie. There we go. That's a...
Is it still running?
Yay! Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's like this. It's like the head person, and it regenerates every couple of years.
No, they just change. They just get a new boss. It's a bit like CSI, isn't it? It's a bit like CSI, but a bit more drama based. Or not.
Sorry, fixing something.
Oh well, thanks for fixing stuff when I'm saying it's a bit like CSI.
It is a bit like CSI, but British.
Yeah. And it began so before CSI. Drama.
Cup of tea, end of
autopsy. Silent Witness has been going longer than CSI. It's a long-running drama series.
Like, what's that American one where the guy does all the autopsies?
Don't know.
Yeah, you know, there's CSI, there's Law and Order,
It's a really classic one, along the lines of Ironside and...
Ironside, we mean that...
My God, you're showing your age.
What was that bloke with the Ironside. Big nose?
Quincy,
that's it.
Yeah,
but yeah, but you actually see the autopsies in this.
Wow, I never.
And it's a bit more dramatic.
Well,
Dr. G. I used to like Quincy. Anyway, they get this text message coming up on the doctor's line, which the doctor never uses, and it says, "Hey, Missy, you're so fine, you blow my mind, hey, Missy."
Yeah, wonder who
is that the original song? Because I remember a version of it called Mickey, which...
Mickey's the original song.
That's what I wonder, which...
Yeah.
Because there were some thoughts on Facebook saying that was the song was called Missy. I wonder, is it like a rewording of it?
Mickey, but she used it in the last one she was in.
She did indeed.
She was singing it quietly while she was tied up looking at Osgood.
Yes, considering how she was going to kill Osgood, yes. Yeah. Anyway, I do like the bit where her head comes out the screen.
Of course she isn't.
I like the bit where her head comes out the screen and woman immediately said is some sort of psychic projection.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
then she says that they need 8 snipers.
Yes.
So that she'll trust her to talk to her.
Yeah. But she still kills them anyway, and the snipers don't do anything.
No, they were told not to.
I know. What's the point of snipers then? Point is being there, isn't it?
Well, I guess they were.
That was to make Clara feel safe. So I guess only if she harms Clara are they going to
shoot. That's all right. So it doesn't matter about all the red shirts.
Yeah, they would have killed her if the head of a unit had not said stand down.
Mm.
Yeah. Nobody shoots. Stand down. Kate.
Right. Anyway, they have a little bit of a discussion as to who the doctor's best friend is.
yeah, that was good.
My friend.
Well, I do quite like the fact that the idea that the Missy stroke the master is the doctor's friend, because I believe that to be the case somewhere along the line. So that was quite nice. But she just can't help herself being bad, but she's still the doctor's friend. Essentially, all she wants to do is inflict annoyance on the doctor, but she doesn't actually want to kill him.
Well, it's almost like siblings, isn't it? I mean, I've got four of them, and there are times when I could assure if he killed a lot of them, and probably the same with me. So, are they actually not just friends? I know there has been rumours, were the doctor and the original master brothers?
It could be they are actually siblings
rather closer than that.
No, I think they were friends, and I like the idea of this, because if you think back to the five doctors, when the master says a universe without the doctor is...
The unbearable, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah.
Something like that. Scarcely worth thinking about or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, and it sort of harkens back to that a little bit. Anyway, Clara works out after a couple of deaths where the doctor is. They use Captain Jack's little teleportation time wristy doodah thingy. Which is otherwise known
as
a
doctor go? Where did he make noise? Where it's not something important?
Aren't they both wearing? They both have
vortex manipulators, which I was trying to explain to Isabella at the end of the episode when both Missy and Clara get done in. They've both got vortex manipulators.
So it was the wrong colour. Isla was a bit worried, and I said, "Darling, that's the wrong colour for them to be exterminated."
There you go.
And then they get exterminated.
No, they didn't, did they?
No, they've been teleported away. It's fairly obvious that's what's happened.
They've just been bracelets on, haven't they? Missy was thinking, TARDIS. Yeah. Right, I shall transport myself into the TARDIS and then dematerialise the TARDIS. I've got myself a TARDIS. Way! Yeah.
If we jump back a bit as well, how did Clara get untied? Because you saw Missy dropping the snake, but you saw Clara stepping out of what she thought was a spaceship.
Missy airlock,
with her eyes behind her.
Still tied up.
Yeah, we jumped a bit.
But then suddenly you saw Clara with her hands free. You never saw her being untied.
Yeah. The snake dropped dead on the floor, if I remember rightly. I think Missy killed it. But can we go back to where we are now in the episode?
Yeah,
with the doctor playing.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. Sorry about
that. Yes, the doctor playing guitar.
Went forward quite far, actually.
I know, because it's in reference to what I was saying. The doctor is rather good. He reminds me a little bit of Brian May from Queen, the way he's playing this particular guitar. And anybody who's got any problems with the doctor being very good at playing guitar, he's also very good at football, he's very old, he's able to pick things like that. I haven't got a problem with that. Have you, Kirby?
I have no problem with that at all. I just know that we're talking to someone who seems to have a problem with it.
Well, I don't know if anybody's got a problem with it. I haven't heard of that, but just in case anybody has, the doctor should be able to play most instruments. I think he's quite clever. And I like the idea. And this is very Tennant-ish, this particular scene in which
it
he's
was, wasn't
performing
it? Yeah. Yeah.
To the crowd.
Juvenile.
Yeah. But it does go on a little bit. And then I love the way he sort of still introduces them as his friends, and including Missy.
But then she tells the audience to hiss at her.
Yeah. But there's a little a sort of smile as he sort of looks up at her. she looks so pleased with herself. Yeah, and then there's a hug for Clara. Remember, the doctor doesn't do hugs. He does now.
Oh, we're hugging now. Mm. We're doing emotion, yeah.
And then Mr. Segway man turns up.
Segway.
Yeah, and then his face goes all weird.
Segway into Segway,
That's
yes.
so clever, that little... When his sneaky thing slips from its coil and his face disappears.
I think it's wonderful, isn't it? That was such a nice thing to have in the first episode. And even though he's just a messenger...
Mm.
But just, to have something that cool. that does, effect.
It yeah. does rather look like the basilisk from Harry Potter, though.
It did a bit, yeah.
With the teeth.
Was Isla scared of the snake man?
She loved him.
Oh.
I was wondering.
You're raising a strange daughter.
No, I'm raising a geek.
Yeah, this is raising a mini-me, basically, isn't it, Debbie?
It's a mini-me, yeah, definitely. She's got no choice. But she likes things like Tim Burton's cartoons and things like that.
Cool.
Animations. Yeah. So, yeah, so she really likes that sort of weirdness. And she loves things like or The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe. And she likes things a little dark. She always has. So I knew she'd be all right. She had a cushion if she needed to hide. But she really liked the Snake Man.
Good.
Now, a lot of people were saying they were reminded of the Mara. I haven't seen those two stories, so I don't know.
Well, you will do one day.
But not Snake Dance. But no, I didn't think so much of it, because I think it's... This is a gestalt creature, isn't it? The number of snakes that are there. Whereas the Mara and was actually only one,
democracy.
Wasn't it?
The Mara is just a huge, pink snake. It never takes any human form or anything.
Okay.
Just a snake.
Just a big old snake, yeah.
What, and one that looked rubbish back in the day and looked really cool on the DVD.
Alicia's just taken it upon herself to print stuff to my printer. So if you can hear a printer going off in the background, she's going to be in here in a minute, being the co-founder of the show. Anyway, back to the story. The doctor agrees to go with the Mr. Snake Man eventually after...
Mr. Snake Man.
after admitting that he sort of... helped Davros. Is co-founder of the show. Can you stop pestering me, please? Do you want this sheet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to shut the door behind you.
Can you get some oil on that chair, please, Adam?
No.
You're breaking.
No, you made me fast forward too fast now. Anyway, so when the doctor disappears with Missy and Clara, because they agreed that Missy and Clara can go with them. Henry VIII.
Bors.
What?
His Bors. Name is Bors. And he's not a king.
He's just a servant. Yeah.
I didn't say
he's,
king.
He's a guy who.
I didn't say he was a king. I said King Henry VIII. Oh. A Dalek thing comes through his head, and
right.
we find
and
out he's a Dalek.
Some people were thinking he's been a Dalek. Human hybrid all along. No, it happened when the snake bit him.
Ah, there you go then. Well done, Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he finds the TARDIS, and the TARDIS must be procured, is it? Or something like that?
Procure. Procure. Wait, you don't have the subtotals on?
No.
Do you know what? That's my job,
TARDIS
procurement.
Will be procured. I wrote
it. Yeah, that's my job. I'm a procurement man, so should I be getting TARDISes then?
Oh, please.
Yes.
Yeah,
of course, it's actually interesting. The actual one of the definitions of procurement is getting young ladies for interesting conversations, shall we say. So, just to throw that way.
Can we move back to Doctor Who, please?
Yeah. There you go.
Meanwhile, the Missy and Clara are trapped in a cell together with the Doctor at this point. And Missy's sat in a very strange way with her legs wide open. She's really
weird. Like that. I like the way she's playing with the echo.
Yeah. Yes. At least she's not got that dum in her ear rolls.
Sounds like Kirby's doing the same thing as well.
Nobody's listening to me. So the doctor gets taken away to see Davros.
Pose.
It's kind of innocent. I'm just sitting here playing in the playground.
Yeah.
Waiting for some chance to be bad.
That's right.
That's fine. Anyway.
Not that I ever did that, obviously.
Obviously. Missy knows that they haven't got an airlock there, so she likes to just scare Clara a little bit by saying she's going to turn
it. I like that. Gravity. I know.
So the Doctor and Davros have a bit of a chin wag. Yeah, a bit of a chin wag. While Clara and Missy... walk out into space, but it turns out to be not space after all, because they're on a planet that's been hidden, rather like Gallifrey, in fact. It's not Gallifrey.
They didn't get sucked out, did they?
It's Skaro. What did you say, Andy?
I said they didn't get sucked out, did they?
No, it wouldn't, because they were on a planet. Then, of course, the doctor starts panicking, and he can't get out at them, and he knows that they're in trouble. And then Kirby got extremely excited, because when they realise they're on Skaro, a Dalek sort of rolled up
that
over the...
That is correct.
And it's one of the classic Daleks.
Yeah, I think the only moment Isla was scared was when I went, ee! Really loudly, when it was a classic Dalek. Like, look at that, it's a classic. Oh, it's so short. Oh,
acts of Daleks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kirby was so excited, the internet broke.
What? Yeah. Why is that? I was excited.
And also, the other thing...
I'm referring to someone else.
The other thing that got Kirby really excited is when Clara and Missy walked into the little holding area where the TARDIS was, the door was exactly the same shape as the doors from the original Dalek
Masta?
Story. Yes.
The door in the cell that they were in before was also that shape.
Yeah, but it wasn't as noticeable as it was.
Yes, it was.
Oh, be quiet.
To me.
Debbie, who's right?
Kirby.
Oh dear, you're going to get yourself a ding, but I haven't got the page open up for the ding, because so you don't get any points.
Because agreed with Kirby instead of
correct, because you were wrong to agree with Kirby. Anyway, so yeah, the Daleks are sort of on the verge of killing Missy and Clara, but Missy, you can tell Missy knows what's going on. She's allows herself to get killed in inverted commas, and I think
goes down on his knees in front of Davros to beg.
Yeah. So yeah. I think from that you can see that Clara knew what was going on and allowed herself to press her vortex manipulator at exactly the right moment, or maybe that Missy did it remotely or something like that. Because
everything will be all right.
Everything will be all right. Yeah. The doctor's not very happy. Yes.
And during the conversation with Davros, there's one point where they substituted Tom Baker's voice as the doctor was talking.
But we saw a little film of the of
no,
Tom
no,
Baker.
No. I mean, you see him talking and you hear Tom Baker.
Yeah, because they're playing on a monitor. You see that?
No. You see him say the words and Tom Baker's voice comes out.
Okay.
Well, I didn't notice that he was saying the words. I just thought we're hearing clips from.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. There's the clips as well. Obviously.
Yeah, but that's what I—that's what I saw it as one of the clips
over the monitor footage. That's what I.
No,
that's what
no,
I
he's responding
right.
to.
Yeah, I think he's just mouthing the words because he remembered saying them. But essentially, it was a clip on a monitor, wasn't it, Debbie?
No, the clip has been finished by this point.
Debbie, who's right?
I can't. I thought he was talking over the monitor.
Well done.
I didn't get the idea that it was Baker's voice and Capaldi's lips moving.
He's done that before.
Yes, that's true. That has happened before. On this instance, though, it's to do with the little flashback clips that were played on the monitor. Wasn't it, Debbie?
No. Negative. And
Debbie? All right, Mary. Mary, what did you think?
He did this, Master. He did this before during Mummy on the whatever.
Orient.
The Mummy episode.
Yeah, I like that one.
On the Orient Express, maybe?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, the one good episode.
Yes, yeah, I know that. Yes, but Mary, who's right?
Who's
in regards to this the voice
wrong.
Of Tom Baker that came was playing
Kirby's
over the monitor,
wrong.
Wasn't it?
Kirby's wrong. Whatever.
Thank you.
Hey.
Right to hear.
Now, I don't think you guys can hear the sound that I'm playing. Am I playing the sound? And can you hear it?
Cannot hear it.
I can hear you doing an impression of Cher. Anyway, moving on. There's lots of interesting Daleks in this particular scene.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yes. What a treat.
Well, they just went next door to the Doctor Who Experience and pulled
them
all out.
They probably
just built a meeting for the afternoon. Yeah.
And then, of course, the Doctor looks rather devastated. And then the next scene, we see him go
Dalek
back to say...
The display will be closed
he's
today.
He's going to exterminate Davros. But... I mean, even without a TARDIS, because remember, the TARDIS is supposed to be destroyed.
How did you get there?
Yeah. You could get there with a vortex manipulator.
Yeah. I'm from the future.
So Moffat has put in all these little bits for us to work out how, in various ways, we get out of this situation. So before we talk about what we think of this story, what are your theories on how they get out of the situation? We're going to start with Debbie, because she's generally right.
which situation, the whole
thing. Yes, what's going to be the result of the cliffhanger?
But do you know what? I don't know. I don't think he's going, obviously he's not going to exterminate Davros. But I think that they left the cliffhanger just to think that he wasn't going to do it. But he won't. I think he's giving him Dalek technology. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. When I saw that bit and he said exterminate, and I think he was going to give him that instead. I think he basically makes Davros. I think that's what's going to be going
yeah,
to
but
be
does he maim Davros to make him look like he is how we see him?
Maybe something, because I thought when he was there, I thought maybe he loses some of his body because he's being dragged apart by the hand mines or something. But I knew that it came across to me that he is going to basically create Davros.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking that he cannot say his name's the Doctor, because if Genesis of the Dalek comes along, he must not know that is the Doctor.
Or he shoots him and leaves him for dead, and that's why Davros is more mechanical than human anymore.
Yeah, a bit of an Anakin Skywalker moment.
Hmm. Yeah. Do we ever actually find out when did Davros become so injured that he had to resort to
exactly.
the mechanical?
I don't think, because he apparently used bits of himself, though. You know, so. Hmm. But I think, yeah, I think this is the genesis of Davros.
I know what it might be.
What?
Well, you know, he comes up, I'm going to exterminate you, and he's pointing the gun at young Davros. I reckon he's not actually pointing at young Davros. I reckon old Davros is in the background somewhere trying to change history.
Yeah.
I reckon he's actually going to try and shoot old Davros. Because he can't change history, can he? Although if he did, and it, you know,
it's his own timeline. Yeah. Timey-wimey,
it would be quite interesting.
I wouldn't be trying to shoot some of the hands to create a passage to let him
that's
through.
And in the process, give him the...
Yes.
The
shoot the hands.
Yes.
Shoot the hand indeed. What do you think, Mary?
Well, that's one reason why I don't read a lot of the internet before I watch episodes, is because everybody's doing this.
Yes, but it's fun.
I'd like to be surprised, and I don't want to have
This is our own theories, not what people might have read.
This is it. This is what she's saying. She doesn't want to be... misled or...
Yeah, what she doesn't want to be really is if when she's wrong, we go, well, you got that wrong, Mary. We were right.
Well, I'm quite looking forward to being proved wrong, but I tend to be able to second-guess Moffat, so...
You spoil
in Sherlock.
So what did you say happened again?
I think he's going to give him the tech. Or he's going to get him out, but he's going to leave him with the Dalek... gun.
So basically, you're saying that the Doctor creates Davros.
Yeah, he's going to create Davros.
And therefore creates the Daleks.
I think he's going to be aware that he's doing it, but he can't just leave him because, you know, he feels so guilty and ashamed about it. But I think he is going to leave it, and I think he's going to have to do it because it's his timeline.
Well, there you go.
There's going to be a lot of angst the next episode about should he, shouldn't he. Or I might be proved totally wrong and Moffat's just leading us up the garden path again.
He generally does, but at least it's intriguing, this particular cliffhanger. Right, so, now I'm going to say what I thought of this particular episode. one of the best opening stories for a while, or episodes for a while, I must admit. I did ask you, Kirby.
You asked me. You didn't ask him.
Then I asked Mary. Then I asked Andy.
And I deflected it.
You deflected it. I'll go with him. Kirby?
I think that he's, when he says exterminate there, he is going to shoot the hand mines.
Okay.
I do not think he's going to give him the gun. No. Because I believe there's scenes in Genesis where he's developing the gun.
Yeah, he wouldn't fire a gun at anyone,
and
would he?
Would have used that way before.
Yeah.
Now. Although I guess they would have used the sonic technology way before this as well.
So if that's exactly what happens, we know Kirby's been going right through the spoilers.
I really do wish that they would show some of Classic Who before they start showing the new series, just to get people interested in it.
They did here on BBC America.
Yes, I heard Jason said they'd done that.
Well, they're doing it all week here.
Yeah.
Today they have something called Breakfast with Baker, and they're showing one of Baker's episodes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Master.
Yes.
I was wrong.
Yes. Yes. Hang on. You were wrong.
Thank you.
It's wrong.
What I heard was obviously Capaldi using his imitation of Tom Baker's voice.
Oh, you were wrong.
What he said was not something Tom Baker could have said.
Okay.
he says it ended in the Time War in Tom Baker's voice.
And well, there you go.
He obviously, the Fourth Doctor would not know what the Time War was.
Okay, right then.
So, go back and listen to it.
I'll try.
I've only watched it once. Everybody gets a fair chance today.
Go on in, Andy. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I've said, I think he's going to shoot a passage, like a passageway through the hands to allow Davros to run up and join him, but he won't actually reveal who he is. The trouble is, though, Davros Jr. has seen the TARDIS, so yeah. He's going to put two and two together. So the doctors need to tell him who he is.
Mm.
He'll see the TARDIS, and he'll remember that in the future.
Maybe.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Remembered, yeah.
Well, that's why something, therefore, is going to go... He's going to have a mind wipe or something like that to stop him, because it's so
but
obvious.
He's also holding the sonic screwdriver, so it's like, what's happening with that? What's going to happen with that? Because Davros, dying Davros, still had it. So, you know, what's going to happen with that?
Yes, okay.
Because he's still clutching it when he's all sort of floppy and feeling poorly.
All floppy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Floppy Davros.
So, right then, this is what I thought of the episode. Like I was saying, it's the best opening episode we've had for a couple of years. Certainly better than last time. Very intriguing.
Well, what could be
the Daleks were actually quite good. Are you talking over me?
Yeah, sorry.
The Daleks are actually quite good in this episode. They weren't painted to be silly or you know, easy to kill or whatever. So they're a bit back to their old selves, so I quite enjoyed that.
But how
lovely.
Did they remember it?
I'm being interrupted. Pardon?
How did they remember that he erased his memory? The Doctor, the 11th Doctor, erased the memory of himself from the Daleks.
Mm. Yeah, but Davros has reminded them about it.
Yeah, okay. But he's also met...
There was a cult of Skaro there as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, but he's also met that Dalek, Rusty. So Rusty could have gone back and told the Daleks all about him.
The Dalek but Doctor.
If they had shown what really happened in that episode, Rusty went back and exploded himself.
Yeah, but that's not what happened, because that's not what was shown. So therefore, it's not canon.
Right.
Anyway, yes, I watched it twice, tried to find something that I didn't like about it. There was a couple of silly little things that, I mean, I've forgotten about, so they were that unimportant. Sorry, not very well. Yes, they were that unimportant. I'd forgotten about them. It was a bit self-indulgent, typical Moffat sort of Doctor Who stuff, but it was a series launching episode, so I'm not bothered too much about that.
Well, I think there's a lot there for the classic and the new fan, because the new fan doesn't need to understand what the genesis of the Daleks and what that's all about. Yeah. They can see it in the sense, like, oh, there's obviously some sort of throwback there, because they see the old Doctors. But us who can remember the classic ones, there was enough clips there to recognise, because you had Tom Baker, you had Davison, you had McCoy... You had Troughton.
Yeah, Troughton.
Yeah, so you had all this. So again, there's I think there's a lot there for the classic series fan or the old-time fan who remembers both series. So I think this could be Moffat looking to bring both fandoms, if you can have such a thing, together as one by giving them something for everything and bring it forward into one complete series.
Mm.
Well, I disagree with one piece of that. Because the clip that they show from Genesis of the Daleks, whatever they're saying in there, it's not clear that what Tom Baker is trying to prevent is the creation of the Daleks. He just worries about, you know, whether he has the right to end life or whatever. It doesn't say that it's the Daleks that he has.
It doesn't matter, because what he says about it, it still applies to Hitler.
Talking about new viewers. He was talking about casual viewers as well as classic viewers. And I think the casual viewer would be a little puzzled as to what that scene was about or what it meant.
Doesn't matter, because he could be talking about Hitler.
Oh, Kirby, it does matter.
Ooh, excellent. Fight, 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 fight.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, so, I quite enjoyed it. It's lovely to have Doctor Who back, it's got to be said. Even Isabella and Debbie did not complain about it. So it can't be that bad. Because normally Deb goes, I didn't understand that.
When you phoned me yesterday, I thought you were just phoning up to go, are you ready? Are you going to watch it? Are you ready?
Nope, I was phoning up to get you to come to London with us.
Yes.
But anyway, so where was I? Oh, yes, so that was my opinions on it. I quite liked it. Debbie, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I didn't want to give it away when people were like asking me, oh, what was it like? What was it like?
I know that people was me, yes.
I really enjoyed it. I can see why some people were like, meh, about it, because there was so much discussion going on all over the web. But I loved the fact that there were so many familiar nods. I didn't like the standard bar scene with every past monster from a few series, you know.
Yeah,
let's
like
just go to the costume department and chuck in a few creatures from a few series back and some of the past ones. That's okay, but why do we have to do that?
So as they could say in the end title sequence, so-and-so monster created by Russell T. Davis, so Russell T. Davis could get a credit.
I suppose. Did they? No, but I think the thing that happened that I enjoyed most was Missy stealing the show. She stole Doctor Who last night. Yes, you had Peter Capaldi coming in playing the guitar on a tank. How amazing. But Missy stopping all the planes and sitting in a quiet courtyard in somewhere like Italy by the looks of it, quietly having a cup of tea and killing people. She stole it. She absolutely stole it. She was brilliant. And the reveal of Scarrow and having those wonderful Daleks, I really enjoyed it. It was a sumptuous feast last night, and I was really happy with it because Moffat's ones were my favourite from the Russell T. Davis era. So when he took over, I was so excited. But then when he made it the Clara show rather than the Doctor Who, I was really worried that last night it was just going to be Clara, 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 and it wasn't.
It was Missy, 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 Missy.
Missy, Clara, off on their own, companions in trouble almost, you know, that sort of thing, and the Doctor. And it was like, yes, please bring it back to the Doctor. It's about him and his adventures through time and space, you know.
Well, I think they did. I think they did manage that.
Yeah, exactly. And not being on Earth.
Because you're saying that it was the Missy show.
It was the Missy show, but I felt she stole the show, but it also brought it back. The Doctor on his knees in front of Davros was a hell of a moment. That was a moment where you were like, oh, my God, what's he doing? You know, this is Doctor doesn't do this. You know, he doesn't get down on his knees and beg Davros like that. You know, what's going on? What has happened? And it's left a lot of intriguing things. But I'm looking forward to Missy's story going off one way and the Doctor finding his way back to being who he is.
Yes.
He needs to come back to being the Doctor.
So far, so good. Andy, what do you think?
So far, so good, happy.
Andy?
Yeah, I really did enjoy it. I think we watched it with Dawn. Dawn watched most of it, and then Wanda actually felt a bit uncomfortable. But I think there's as I said earlier, there's a lot there for the classic fan and the new fan, bringing it all together. How he's going to get out of it, I don't know. Except we've already talked about that. There's a lot of options there as well. But seeing the Doctor actually begging to Davros, have we ever seen a Doctor who is... He's begging for the lives of his companions and his friend, in inverted commas. So I do two fingers in the air, but you can't really see that on audio, obviously. But in a way, this is a throwback to the relationship he had with the Master at... what was it? It's one of the last ones they did when Gallifrey came back. And he and the Master are working together. So it's that relationship they've got. It's throwing it back to that. And I think we've seen that in the past with Tom Baker and the Master... Not so much with Pertwee, but whether he will sometimes work with a Doctor. And it's interesting, are they going to bring that relationship and make more of it? With Missy being obviously the new Master. I know a lot of people don't like that. I mean, I listened to the Dirty Whoist there. I put a comment on Facebook that's rather just uncomplimentary because I never listen to go there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see how they do develop that relationship and how they do take that forward, because you've got chance there to write... build a new theme to take the Master forward, or Missy forward, but also what the lies. The Doctor's a little girl? I don't think so somewhere. But likely the idea of going off the moon. But I think that's an interesting one as well. So I think what we've got...
She's got the best lines.
Oh, she did. She has actually belting lines in there. And I think whoever wrote that script really had a field day.
You mean Stephen Moffat?
One quote I came up with. So I think the script is excellent.
Let's make that.
Yeah, I think it's going to go places, this is. I really do. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, I saw it later because I didn't watch it when it was live at the cinema, but I turned my phone off and I'm going to do the same next week because there's obviously a rather crucial rugby match on next Saturday. So I have to watch it after that. But I'll just switch the phone off and not do anything until after I've watched it. Of course, that depends on whether Junior might have arrived by then.
I was going to say, it'd be interesting to see when Junior arrives, which episode was on at the time, because when Isabella was born, Satan Pit was. And so we were actually watching it in hospital.
I think I did find out with Sugar, of course I'm born in 65, so I think I did find out once. What
mine was bloody gunfighters, so it can't be worse than that.
Well, that says it all, doesn't it? Yes.
There was an app on Facebook a while back that said which Doctor Who was it when you were born. Mine was a middle of a story with Tom Baker. I can't remember what it was.
And Kirby's was Quatermass or something.
I hate you young people.
What? What?
I can tell you what the story was on when I was born.
Unearthly Child.
None.
Exactly.
I was born before the show.
Unearthly Child. There you go.
Therefore, Kirby, you can tell me what you thought of it.
I love this. This was one of the best Capaldi stories, if not the best so far. I just absolutely loved it. I loved all the throwbacks to the past. It was just remember I was complaining about some First Doctor stuff a few weeks ago, how I know how I like my Doctor Who, and this is how I like my Doctor Who. Science fiction, just wonderful things. This was great. I really can't say much more.
Oh, you can't say much more.
It gets a ding.
My goodness, you get one of these.
I can say that I probably disagree with Mary.
Okay, well, now we get into that point because, yes, we've gone for... It's time for Mary.
Okay, well, what I want to impress you with is that I did enjoy this episode a lot. And I agree that, you know, it's the best outing so far for Capaldi, and it was a great season opener. So the things that I have to say that are not so great are minor. So I don't want it to be thought of that, she hated the show, because I did not at all. I still don't like the opening theme. I still think it sounds like a kiddie show, and I'd like them to change that. and I have a lot of issues with the Doctor's entrance, because it seems to me like they spent all of last season apologizing for how old he was. And so now we start out right away kind of like trying to recreate him as younger and sexier and the rock star.
T-shirt now, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, and yet Davros even says, I like you better because you look more like me. So still dealing with the age issue, which I'm really... I think he should be who he is, you know, and don't feel like they have to sex him up and you know, rock him up and turn him into a stand-up comedian just to make him more acceptable. Because I think they've been getting a lot of negative feedback about, oh, he's old and oh, he's boring, you know, and da, da, da. So I think they're trying to turn him back into, you know, 10 or 11. I don't think he has to. I'd like to see an evolution of him maybe getting to there. But I don't like the fact that, you know, bam, there he is, totally different for us. And I took a little exception to Clara, being called by UNIT at the school.
Yes.
And then she rushes in. I mean, what is Kate Lethbridge-Stewart's job there? But she stands around open-mouthed, acting kind of like, I don't know what's going on, while Clara is the one, you know, putting everything together and solving, you know, and coming up with how they, you know, how they locate him and everything. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I thought that was UNIT and Kate's job.
It's not a bad point, actually, because Kate, you know, in the previous time we meet them, where the Brigadier becomes a Cyberman, it was Kate sort of saying, oh, the Doctor does this, the Doctor does that, and we set this up because we know the Doctor's going to do this. And this is a bit of a turnaround, actually, in the way she is. It's a very good point.
But yeah, Kate always has acted, previous to this, as very much in charge, but this time she really looked like a little bit of an idiot.
Extra, wasn't she?
she was just kind of in the background. And to your point, Deb, about this was the Missy show.
Yeah.
which I celebrated too because I thoroughly enjoy her.
She had so good lines.
Oh, she did. She had great lines, and she did a fabulous job with them. But I remember back when it became the Clara Show, but the first episode with the new Doctor, I remember celebrating that Clara was now in the forefront because she had been in Eleven's shadow for all the previous episodes, and I thought she was pretty boring, so I was so happy to see her come to the forefront, but then there she was for the whole season, and, you know, that got to me.
I'm hoping that this Missy is only in it for a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping this isn't going to be, you know, the Missy season.
He'll bring her back for the finale. He always brings them all back.
I think that's what happened. I think she'll come at the beginning, then she'll disappear. Then at the end, possibly when we get rid of, when Clara goes, then we're dealing with Missy. Then Missy, you know, Missy might kill her or might send her off somewhere.
Or might they send might her go back traveling to... together.
Yeah, they could do. Or she might get sent back to the to being the impossible girl at the very beginning.
Or maybe she does kill her and she regenerates and becomes Maisie, whatchamacallit, from...
No.
Don't say anything, Kirby. Please. Thank you.
I think they did a great job of promoting, the first half of this. Because you see Clara in the previews and all that, but you don't see her in the previews for the second episode or any time after that. True. So that fed into when she's, you know, exterminated in quotes. Woo, maybe this is it. Cause I don't remember seeing her in anything else.
We know we see her with Maisie.
Ah, there you go. Then.
In the previews.
Well, here I was thinking that they did a great job of selling.
Well,
they
more or less did. They more or less did, didn't they?
I'm corrected. So, yes, awesome. That's what I think with you know, the minor niggles that I'm talking about. I really, really enjoyed this episode.
Excellent. Yes, Kirby.
I just posted a picture from Journey's End of Davros. His hand is mechanical, and as you will recall, his hand was shot off in Revelation of Daleks.
Yeah, that's so why for me, it's
yay!
All right. Thank you, everybody.
I'm adding them up because you know Adam will probably win this.
So, on the whole... Well, we quite enjoyed it. Right, so now we're going to move on to feedback. Now, if you want to send feedback into the show, because I had this correspondence from somebody who wants to use our podcast to publicise something called Audible. You might have heard of it. Other people have approached me in the past, and nothing's come to it.
I thought Audible closed shop.
I don't know, but
no.
I don't think they have
problems, but they came back.
Yeah, but anyway. They contacted me in regards to that, and I said, well, I have been contacted before, and nothing came about it. And then they said, oh, what are your monthly downloads? I thought, okay, I'll do that one again, because I did that last time, and nothing came from it. So I looked on there, and it said that the feed hits are 10,000 a month, which is quite a lot. That got me thinking, if we're getting 10,000 feed hits per month, why are people so quiet? Yeah. So I just posted on the Facebook group. That's a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which
page.
You can join. And in regards to feedback, and we got some. But
yes,
it's not really sort of retrospective if against the listeners we actually do have. So we have the shyest, quietest listeners in the world of Doctor Who podcasting.
That's
so if you want to come out of your little shell, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
I will read it if necessary.
And Debbie will read it and try and do an impression of you if necessary. But I've got some feedback. Somebody called Matthew Crissal sent something. Matthew Crissal.
Good morning, Debbie. Sure.
He's very quiet.
North Alabama, recording feedback on The Magician's Apprentice. Sorry I'm not on the show today to talk about it with you chaps, unfortunately, or fortunately as the case may be. I'm auditioning for the Scottish play with Rocket City Shakespeare, so fingers crossed. As I'm recording this, it's about 20 minutes after 8 in the evening on the 19th, so I have literally just finished watching this. Oh my god. I don't know what I came into this expecting, to be honest. It's, you know, there was a lot of hype and avoiding a lot of rumors and whatnot, but I remember several months ago now reading a report from one of the major UK newspapers. I can't remember if it was The Sun or The Daily Mail, which suggested that that part of this season was going to revolve around the Doctor and Davros and a moment for Genesis of the Daleks, the whole... If you saw a child, you know, and you realized he was going to do something terrible in the future, could you then murder that child? And of course, it was a rumor, and this newspaper, I believe, was the same one that had reported that Gillian Anderson was going to be playing the Rani and End of Time, so I didn't believe it. And yet, as I sat here about 45 minutes to an hour ago watching the opening of this episode and sitting there thinking, they're not going to, but of course, they did. And I have to say, this is an idea that's kind of been explored before in some places. I certainly know that I proposed this story in a Big Finish thing a few years ago and as a fan fiction thing a while back to Mythmakers. So the idea of the Doctor being responsible for Davros, creating the Daleks in a way, is probably not a new idea, but it's about bloody time that the TV show did it. And trying to judge this episode is going to be really difficult because, of course, this is the opening of a two-parter, but there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on here. Of course, we have the reintroduction of Missy, who I absolutely love, and I think in a way Missy is what RTD tried to do with John Sims Master, but done correctly. And maybe it's just because of the fact that we've now gotten used to that, that Missy comes across so well, or could just be that Michelle Gomez is a better actress than John Sim is an actor, at least dealing with the material, or in fact that Moffat wrote better material. I don't know. You guys can debate that. I'm very happy with this episode. I really am, and I believe I've already said in my Facebook status, I think this is the best episode we've had since Day of the Doctor aired.
Agreed.
Almost 2 full years ago now. And that isn't to say that Series 8 was bad. I'm on record as saying I quite liked a lot of Series 8. There was only, I think, one or two episodes I wasn't a huge fan of. But I really enjoyed Series 8, but this kicks it up a notch. And I think it does it by taking the show back to its roots, back to basics, and really delving into the show's classic series history. And I'd be very curious to see what people who are only aware of the show from the new series will make of this, and particularly those of us who are longtime fans through not just the TV series, but also things like Big Finish, which with series like I, Davros, have explored where Davros came from. And this just adds another layer to it, though, as I said earlier, this isn't really a new idea. But it's, you know, I think it's the best episode we've had since Day of the Doctor aired almost 2 years ago. And I can't really speak highly enough of it. Capaldi is in fine form here. Oh. And also, we finally have explanations for the prologues that we've had, both in the series 8 finale 3D screening that happened earlier this week as I'm recording. And it's a shame, Kirby, that you're not a huge fan of those two episodes they showed, because it was fantastic in 3D, very cinematic. I'd love to see this on the big screen. In fact, I understand that Tony Flyer, one of my co-writers on the Warp Factor site, actually got to see both this episode and its the next episode, The Witch's Familiar, during a screening in Cardiff just a couple of weeks ago. And right now I'm very jealous of him, because that cliffhanger really has me really excited about next week. I want to see where this is going to go. And I have to say, I don't think I've been this excited about the show in quite a while, maybe since the 50th. That's not to say, as I said earlier, that I wasn't looking forward to Series 8. But I really feel like Capaldi has settled in, and that this season they're going to really explore some territory. And the fact that we know Jenna Coleman is leaving is going to make, I think, this season even more interesting. Of course, I might not be saying that next week after we see The Witch's Familiar, but
yeah. We
will certainly see, I think. So I think I've rambled on long enough, so I'm going to hand it back over to everyone. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Mary, looking forward to talking to you hopefully next week on Stories from the Vortex. Oh, which, by the way, there should be an episode out this coming Wednesday. So everybody, tune into that. And I can imagine there's probably some groaning because I plugged my own podcast. So hopefully I'll be able to join you again sometime, because I really am looking forward to talking about this season. So until then, so long. Thanks for all the fish.
Yes, that was Matthew Kressel, everybody.
Thank you, Matthew.
Master. I think Matthew finds a way of plugging everything that he's a part of.
He does.
Yes, Master.
I think Kirby wants to say something.
A couple of things. First of all, getting back with the Davros' hand, the picture that Andy posted was Davros' display at the experience.
Yes.
And I found another view of it from a different angle. You can tell it's the same display because of the thing behind him, but it's clearly a mechanical hand.
Yes. Thank you. You're really going to harp on about this, aren't you?
Secondly, I forgot to mention that when Fred and her boyfriend were watching last night, and when it was over, first thing Fred said to me, besides this was absolutely great, was that seemed short. And that's something that someone says for when you get so involved mm-hmm. in a story, mm-hmm. that happens.
Yeah, it's great. It wasn't that short, was it? It was about 54 right. minutes or something. So.
But you get so involved in it, it seems like it's very little time.
Yeah, well, I'd go along with that.
Great. That's something very positive.
Yes.
That is brilliant, yeah.
Right, we have more feedback.
Whoop.
How you doing? Long time no speak.
Yay, Billy!
Billy!
Master's Apprentice. Yes. You know, I'm trying to work out why the story was called that, in all honesty. Was it the connection between the snake-like creature looking for the Doctor and Davros? Perhaps. Anyway, in relation to the episode, was it brilliant? No, it wasn't. Was it dreadful? No, it wasn't. Was it okay? Yes, it was.
Apparently
it was
Marmite.
A great opening, quite creepy, especially with the hand mines. How creepy is that? It was fast-moving and quite exciting, I thought. And the very first scene brought back flashbacks of Genesis of the Daleks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quite fitting, really, when you consider that the story was about Davros wanting to kill the Doctor, essentially. Great stuff. A great Doctor Who story, I think. Anyway, I've always said that I love it when the show acknowledges its past. But I'm starting to realise that this aspect can be overdone. And yes. In my opinion, is being overdone. We had the Shadow Proclamation, we had the Jadoon, we had the Doctor referring to his bow tie, his scarf, and we had the Sisterhood of Karn, you know. I mean, Doctor Who has now been back on our screens for 10 years. There's no need to keep, you know, reminding us that it's Doctor Who of old or the show's got a long history. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be, you know, reminded of that fact.
Totally
to
agree.
To me, you know, the benchmark of whether I like a story or whether I like a particular series is, you know, the benchmark is a classic series. I'm a stickler for the classic series. And back then, the show very rarely acknowledged its past unless it was an anniversary special. And I like that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
So in that aspect, you know, the show looking back to its past is just way overdone, and was the case in this episode.
I did allude to this earlier.
Just incidentally, what was all that with the planes freezing? What was all that all about, the planes freezing in the sky? Yes, it was Missy, yes, we know that. But why? I mean, do we find out next week? I hope so. Or is it just another, meaningless subplot, perhaps? I don't know. But anyway, we'll find out, won't we? But overall, in my opinion, the episode wasn't too bad. I'm looking forward to next week, but I'm also holding my jubilation due to the fact I felt bitterly disappointed once before. Dark Water, Death in Heaven. And did I hear at one point Missy refer to the Doctor of when he was a girl?
Yes, and that
oh,
was
don't get me
one of, them one of those things was a lie.
For goodness sake. Have a fantastic day. Take care.
Yes,
thanks,
Billy. Thank you, Billy.
Yeah, nice to have you, Billy, yeah.
I reckon that was the one that was a lie, though, Kirby.
Excuse me?
I reckon that was the one that was a lie that Missy was
yes,
referring to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd like to respond to something that Billy said. It occurred to me that one of my criticisms was the attempt to win back the casual and the younger viewers by trying to turn the Doctor into a rock star. I think another thing that they were worried about was losing the classic people. And so they thought by putting all these references in here that it would win the classic people back. You know, I mean, so maybe this episode is just a big, let's get everybody together and give them what they want.
Because Moffat usually does it at the end of a series.
Well, maybe it's been over that period of time that they've been really aware of the feedback they're getting.
Yes, uh-huh. Maybe.
Master?
Oh, I nearly got the sentence out.
The reason that Missy said the planes, she said the planes are keeping me alive.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, she did. Yes.
Well, presumably, because if they shot her, then the planes would then just drop out of the sky or stay up there and
yes, exactly.
Or stay up there forever.
Yes. Yeah. They can't kill her because of the planes.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I've right. got Jeff's feedback up. Do you want me to read it?
How did you manage that? Because I've got it as an email.
Oh, I've got the one that he sent into Facebook.
I'll tell you what. You're going to have the one that I've just sent you Not from Jeff, though. So we'll save that one for in a minute. This is from Patrick Bishop. I've just sent it to you via Facebook Messenger.
It up now.
Pardon?
That's what she said. Will you, Adam, will you do something with that blooming chair
it's
of yours?
It's creaky.
Or stop farting.
Yes, exactly. Like a curry you had
You'll
last
know
night.
It if I was farting.
All that lager you're drinking, disgraceful.
And
drinking
stop
on the
opening
podcast.
Cans
yes.
of
yeah, but I won't be falling asleep.
Feedback.
I've never drank in 3 weeks, you know, folks.
Cinema, honestly. So you want me to read Patrick's, yeah?
Yes, please. Okay. In the Patrick
I'm voice. Not going to do his accent. Oh. Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast and the squeaky chair. This is Patrick. He didn't say that. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the Series 9 premiere, The Magician's Apprentice. It's been a while since I've sent in feedback because of work and other projects, but I've been faithfully listening to and enjoying all the podcasts in the interim. What was that? I loved this episode, very pleasantly surprised, with the Sisterhood of Khan, Davros, the Shadow Proclamation, the Maldivorium, the Daleks and UNIT. They certainly packed a lot in. The acting was great throughout, especially this Davros, who reminds me of the great Michael Wishes Davros from the classic series. The cliffhanger had a classic feel, series feel that I really enjoyed as well. I can't wait to see how many of the aforementioned elements factor into the story's conclusion. I'm sure you've discussed the news that Jenna Coleman is leaving the show this series. I've always been of the opinion that Jenna is one of the best actors, talent-wise, to play a companion, but I've never really liked the Clara character all that much, so I'm glad there will be a change. Well, that's it from me. I didn't have time to do audio feedback, but I will next time. Have a great week.
Excellent. Isn't it nice to have Patrick back, everybody?
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, right. Then you alluded to Jeff Waddle's feedback. Now,
yeah, he posted a little bit about it on our Facebook page.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll send you what. Is she very very good at reading things out? Everybody.
Yeah, she is.
So I'm not very good at the moment because I've had 1.5 cans of Stella.
You alky, disgraceful. People yes. drinking is appalling.
Very unlikely I'm going to be falling asleep, though,
and
listeners.
And falling asleep.
Mm.
And it's appalling.
It's only 4 in the afternoon. Come on.
I've just sent Debbie Jeff Waddle's
feedback.
This one's
a lot longer than the one he put on Facebook.
That's what she said.
Right, okay.
And I'd love to see it.
That's what she said. Mary always has to do the funny punchline, doesn't she?
Okay. I think most people enjoyed this episode. I genuinely thought it was garbage.
What?
It was just a rehash of things before. The scene from Wedding of Riversong in the challenge between the Doctor and a Challenger, and don't start me on the dialogue, it was cringeworthy. A continuation of the cringeworthy Hey Mickey Tony Basil joke. Asylum of the Daleks recreation, and that episode was crap too. Capaldi goes to hide from everyone, and that involves taking a tank from a different time period. Had enough of it now. That's 5 episodes in a row that have been, at the best, poor for me. I'm not watching it anymore. Capaldi can't do any more with this garbage script than what Smith did near his final run. Absolute garbage. And I never thought I would see the day when I turned my back on Who. Looking back, I enjoyed 3/4 of last season because of Capaldi. But when you get an episode where you don't like his performance and dislike everything else, it's time to get out. I'll still listen, though. Have a good one.
Excellent. Counter-opinion. This is what we like on this show.
Controversy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Were you moaning then, Kirby?
No. Oh.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Much appreciated.
Thank you,
Jeff. Don't agree with you, but much appreciated.
My dad stopped watching, remember?
Yes, he did.
He started doing feedback, and then he went, nah, I've had enough. Yeah.
Has he had a dip into this particular episode?
No, I've not spoken to him. He's been in Malta this week, so they've got a lot of catch-up to do. So I'm hoping to speak to him next couple of days.
It'll be interesting to see, won't it?
I'm going to make him watch it and get him to tell me what he thinks.
Okay.
Because I like talking to him about Doctor Who. It's been a bit...
Yeah,
it's like when
it,
he stopped watching the Grand Prix.
Like me missing... when Doctor Who started, Alicia went upstairs. I'm not watching this. Just as a bit. Yeah.
Folks, give me 2 seconds. I've got to come in for a busy, folks. So
Sorry, Ian. So what are we going to do now, then?
On the verge of visit, that's all.
He's just going to the little boy's room.
Thank you. I was trying to be polite about it, but thank you. Well,
that's very good. What are we going to do, though?
Put it with me. You'll get all sound effects, but I think perhaps not.
I've got Ian Kirk's feedback poised with a stylus ready to play it.
Like Naked Gun when he wanders into the restroom and with his microphone on still.
Yes, I put a new stylus on my little audio player, as it's very, very clear, and it's just right for Ian Kirk's vinyl feedback.
Fantastic.
But I don't know what to do now.
What crashed earlier?
Pardon? My Mac.
Something
my other Mac.
Crashed. It went...
Yeah, my other Mac, the one that was supposed to have been fixed.
Oh, God, still doing that.
It's still going to cost me another load of money to take it over to Southampton to get it allegedly fixed again, and possibly not.
I think they're missing a trick not having an Apple store.
And all that Apple said was that, because I said it's going to cost me money, or we might give you some credit in the store by way of...
Good, loads of apps.
Yeah, how much, though?
Apple Watch.
No, Apple Watch is about £500. They're not going to be that much.
That would be an acceptable...
a credit note for a suitable amount of money that I can get a cover for my next iPhone. So I'm due an upgrade in November.
Oh, gosh, did you hear about mine? I managed to flush mine down the toilet.
Well, that was a bit silly. Are you back, Andy?
Not just in the toilet. Not just hanging around in the bottom, ready to be fished out.
You flushed it.
And thrown into a bowl of rice.
It's somewhere out in the sun.
How on earth did you manage to flush it?
Well, it was the day after someone had been round to our shop, where I work, and had fixed them so they flushed better. So now you can hear someone having been to the bathroom from everywhere in the building because the flush is so powerful.
That doesn't explain how the phone got down the toilet.
I shouldn't have had it in my hand.
So you dropped it.
Were you were texting while you were...
No, I picked it up off of the window ledge and...
Is that after you washed your hands?
I was flushing the chain and threw it down.
I was going to say, you haven't washed your hands first. Oh, God, I'm not picking your phone up then.
I don't normally take it in with me at all. I don't actually know why I had it in there with me, but wow. Yeah. I'm not doing that again.
I'm glad you reached the right thing when you... No, let's not go any further with this question.
Oh, sorry, Ian, that was the end of your jingle. We'll play it again, shall we?
Yes.
That's better.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Yay!
On Saturday, I went to the cinema to see a comedy called Bill. I liked it a lot. The name of Shakespeare will live on for 10 years. Sunday is Robert Haynes' birthday.
Oh, happy birthday,
Robert. An auspicious day for reviewing Doctor Who.
Indeed.
Yep.
Let's Kill Davros by Stephen Moffat. The Magician's Apprentice by Stephen Moffat. I wish they had had American newsreader Trinity Wells, like in the RTD era. Handmines? Ugh. Thumbs down. Think of the state of their fingernails. Davros died in Journey's End.
I'm not dead! What's that? I'm not dead! He said he's not dead, yes he is. I'm not!
There were guitars in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Excellent! One-time travel and telephone booth.
A return homage. There was a tank in an episode of Spaced. Must be a homage, because it is expensive just for the fish joke. If you were building a race of Daleks, a screwdriver would come in handy. Americans might not like the reference to taking control of airliners. There are still some classic stories I have not seen yet. I have never seen Kinder.
Heather, bye.
If Davros only had a 1 in 1,000 chance with the Doctor's help, he might as well have tried to save him and failed. There were clips of previous Doctors to please fans of the classic series.
Yes.
It does not seem to have worked.
Oh.
I liked it.
So did
I. Jeff Wardle thought it tanked.
I know he did.
Jenna Coleman is leaving Doctor Who to play Queen Victoria. I am not amused.
That was Ian Kirk, everyone.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, I wish you
understood him.
No, what Ian did remind me was a scene from Resurrection of the Daleks when the Fifth Doctor is about to kill Davros, which I've only thought of now, but it was quite a similar thing to the scene where we see the Doctor pointing the gun at the young Davros. And in fact, it was a similar gun.
Oh.
So there you go.
I've only seen that one once, and it was years and years ago.
Yeah, well, you will get to see it again at some point in the distant future.
Some ways down the road. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
God.
And the first question goes to Andy.
Hello.
When my iPad loads up.
No, hang on. Piece of paper. Two pieces of paper. There we go. See those? That's my notes.
Here's mine.
Did you say on an audio presentation, do I see those?
All right, do you hear these?
I can hear them.
Usually that's what we hear from Deb.
Mm. Okay, right.
Well, as far as I know, there's no script out there, so.
I don't know. I've looked.
First question goes to Andy.
Okay.
Right. What type of aircraft shot...
Biplane.
What?
That's the first... Biplane. It's the first word I've written down.
Yeah, me too.
Seriously, it's the first word on my notes.
Yeah. Biplane? Question mark.
No, it's biplane.
Debbie.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Thanks.
Do we get to hear the question?
For the sake of the listeners, what was in the ground...
Pardon?
What was in the ground?
And mines?
No, I'm just giving you a dinghy, not getting another one.
Ah.
Right.
It was a trick question.
Kirby.
Master.
I don't do trick questions. Kirby.
Master.
What were the boys' chances of survival?
1 in 1,000.
Oh, that's a strange noise.
What was that?
Sounded like feedback. We've already had feedback. Mary.
Yes.
I've got to poise it over the right button. Right.
He's looking for a hard one just for me.
That's what she said.
Showed it to me.
Oh. I do apologise, listeners. It's nothing to do with me. I'm just trying to answer a question about Doctor Who.
This is some of the man who keeps farting, of course.
Right then, Mary. If we can keep it clean, what was the Doctor looking for when he happened upon the boy Davros?
I know.
She's gone very quiet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
I know.
Good point to me. That's what I like to hear. Go on then, Andy.
Bookshop. Wait, I said it
Hang
first.
Hang on. No, I heard Andy say I know first. Didn't hear you say I know first.
I said it first.
I didn't hear you, though. So, Andy, what was it?
Bookshop.
Oh, yeah.
If you decide to go share at the wrong moments, Kirby, I'm sorry, I can't legislate for that. It's in the rules. Right then. Was that Mary's question? That was,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yes, before we go back to Andy. What did the head of the Shadow Proclamation order to deploy?
God,
I know.
I was going to say you won't get this one.
Did
but,
you hear me say it?
I heard you I say know. It then, yeah. But I'm just waiting for Andy to come up with the answer.
No, didn't get. I won't get this one. It's on Kirby.
Excellent, a point for me. Yes, Kirby?
The Under Regiment.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
No, I didn't. Didn't get that.
Yeah, right. I didn't.
Debbie?
Yes?
What was Clara collecting in her first scene?
Chewing gum. That was horrible.
Yeah.
I believe it was chewed chewing gum as opposed to unchewed.
Yes,
chewing
indeed.
He wanted it back at the end of the class as well.
Yes, I have that back. Yeah, written gum bin wants it back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
What was the hashtag Clara asked the kids to look for?
Oh, I know.
The planes have stopped.
Yay.
Gits. Right.
No.
Mary.
I bet I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Hang on, let's get it right over the right.
Stop
just getting
it.
Getting poised. Right. Where was WP62LWT displayed?
I know.
I know.
Kevy said I know first, but Mary?
they know to jump in because I usually don't know the answers to these hard questions you give me.
Yeah, so what's the answer to this one?
on that big board in unit.
Point to me going in Kirby, wasn't it? Kirby?
It's the tag on the back of the motorcycle.
You mean the number plate?
Tag?
Yes, whatever.
Yeah, they call it a tag. It's fine. Accepted lexicon.
Right, so that was Mary's question. So therefore, we have a point checkup. In
checkup.
All right, point score. What do you call it? The points
a score
update.
Check.
Score check. That'll do. In last place with no points, it's Mary.
Yay.
In joint third place with 3 points, it's Andy and me. In second place with 4 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 6 points, it's Kirby.
Yay!
Next question goes for Andy.
Yep.
Hang on, to get rid of this over the right button. Right, how many planes were airborne?
Oh, I know.
Hang on, I have got this written down. 4,165.
Of course. If I know it, somebody else does too.
I didn't know that one, so there.
Yeah, okay. Tom got it wrong. Debbie. Because I was talking to Isla.
Debbie.
Yep.
How did Missy's head come out of the TV?
I think I know.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
Was it that psychic?
Yes.
I didn't write it down.
Come on.
Waiting for it.
Waiting.
No. Dang, no.
Right, who said I know first? Was it Andy?
Mary.
Yeah, I think Andy did.
Mary said it first.
Oh, okay, Kirby said Mary. Go on then, Mary.
Oh, through a square window.
What?
No.
Yeah. It's psychic projection.
Oh, good, I'll get 2 points for that one.
Window.
Psychic projection.
Yeah, psychic projection.
Psychic projection. You don't get any points, though, because the last point went to me. So thanks for that, everybody. Right, Debbie. No, sorry. Kirby.
Master?
How many snipers?
I know.
Oh, yes.
9.
No!
No!
Excellent. I think Andy said I know first.
No, it's actually Debbie. Debbie got in first.
Okay, apparently Debbie said it. I've got fighting over who said it first now. Go on then, 8. Debbie. Pardon?
8. Kirby.
Yeah.
Right, Mary.
I think I know where I got it wrong.
Doesn't matter at the end of the day. Right, Mary.
Yes, it does. Yes. I always have to know why I got it wrong.
Do you now? Mary.
Yes.
What time was Missy's meeting with Clara scheduled for?
Oh, yes, I know.
Oh, is it like
1 o'clock? No, it wasn't. Debbie, you said
4 o'clock.
No, that was my second guess.
Tea time.
Right. Andy.
Yep.
What brand of car did Clara arrive in?
It's a Mercedes.
I know. Okay.
Debbie.
Write that down.
What was Missy's first question for Clara?
I think I know.
Who was that to?
You!
Was it? Oh, sorry, can you say it again? Sorry.
What was Missy's first question for Clara?
Very I only quiet. Wrote down, oh, saucy. Never mind, sorry.
I think I know.
Point for me. Excellent, go on then, Andy.
Is it, how's your dead boyfriend?
Oh, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, I know, that really is quite bitchy, yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
What year was the Doctor in?
Yes, I know.
1138.
Mary.
Yes?
How long had the Doctor been in the past?
Ow.
Ooh.
Yes.
I know.
Don't know.
Good point for me. And who said I know first? Because it was all everybody saying things. Oh, go on then, Kirby.
Yeah, I said yes, and Kirby actually said I know. So.
Go on then, Kirby.
I said it after Kirby.
All right, shut up. Kirby?
3 weeks.
Right. So the scores with a limited amount of questions left are in last place with no points, it's Mary. In the fourth place with 6 points, it's Debbie.
Yeah.
In second place, essentially, or third place, depending on which way you want to look at it, it's Andy with 8 points.
Oh.
And in the joint lead with 9 points each, it's me and Kirby.
Come on, Kirby.
Wait, I'll lose.
Be
Beat Andy. Beat, right. Beat,
so yeah. These are free-for-all questions.
Beat Andy, thank you. What have I done to upset
beat
you?
Shush. Shush.
Adam.
Three. These are free-for-all questions, right? Because there's only three left.
There's no so three for all. Us there. You're not going to deduct points if we get it wrong or anything.
Don't give him ideas.
He normally does.
Be quiet. Right, the first of the free-for-all questions is, which versions of himself had the Doctor recently channeled?
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
11 and 4.
Yeah.
Well done.
Right, the next free-for-all question is, what did the Doctor say to Missy as he left the cell?
I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Yes.
Gravity.
Oh, my bell went a bit funny.
I like her answer, yeah.
And the final question is, as traditional in the current episodes of...
The answer you is won't get snake anyone, miss and a dress.
Is double or nothing. Unfortunately, Mary, for you, double nothing doesn't really work, because a double of nothing is nothing. So... Stop it. Trying to compose myself for this question. Right, here it is. What did the Doctor not kill the... Hang on, that's not what it is. Why did the Doctor not kill the boy Davros in the first place? According to Davros. Because it's a weakness.
Oh, I know.
Go on in, Mary.
Compassion.
Yes, yeah, so unfortunately, it's the first time anybody's ever answered a question correctly on this show and got no points for it. So.
Oh, I think she should win, because it's double or nothing.
Yeah, but double of nothing is nothing.
Nothing. She got double, both and she got nothing and doubled it.
Yeah. Okay, so, therefore, the final scores of this week's edition of We Won't Get This One. In last place, unbelievably, even though she answered the question right and she didn't get any points deducted, is Mary, with no points. In fourth place, with... 8 points, Andy and Debbie. So essentially, yay, that's third place. Yeah. In second place, with 9 points, me. And the winner this week, with 11 points, it's Kirby.
Oh,
that's the first time it's been in a long time.
Okay, now it's time for Doctor...
Because... I'll tell you why.
Why?
It's because we have less time to do lots of study.
That's true. I only got to watch it once.
I got to watch it twice, but I was falling asleep during the second watching last night.
You saw it three times. Goodness me.
Yeah. I watched it twice. Right.
Debbie.
Yes.
I need to blow my nose and have a sip of Stella Artois. Meanwhile, so could you please do the news for me? Yes, listeners, it's time for the news. I tried to say that before I got interrupted by Kirby.
I'm trying to find it. Hang on.
Yeah,
well, that's my job.
It's www.doctorwhonews.net.
That's what she said.
The music. What do you mean, where's the music? The music gets dubbed on afterwards, as everybody well knows.
It's taking a while to load here.
That's what she... Oh, that doesn't fit. That's what she said, does it?
That's
anyway,
what she said.
No, I'm going to blow my nose. So if you could do the news for me then, Debbie, in a slicker manner than what you're doing it at the moment.
I apologise. What date did we go from last time?
I can't remember. Just find something we haven't talked about yet. Right at the bottom of the page, they've got Doctor Who magazine 491.
I'm going.
Good, I'm going to get a tissue.
The latest edition of Doctor Who magazine is out on Thursday. This was published on Wednesday, the 16th of September. And has an exclusive preview of the first 4 episodes of the new series, The Magician's Apprentice and The Witch's Familiar, and Under the Lake and Before the Flood. The latter 2 episodes from Toby Whithouse. Is it Whithouse?
Whitehouse.
There's only one E in it.
Yeah, Whithouse, first script for Peter Capaldi's Doctor, and also his first 2-part Doctor Who story. It hinges on time travel, fairly mind-bending time travel.
What the heck was that?
I thought he was going out the room. That's why he asked me to do it.
No, I went out the room to get a tissue.
And whether he came to regret taking the wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey route, he said, oh, never, I loved it. I've always wanted to do a timey-wimey episode. In fact, it was going to be a lot more timey-wimey, but we lost some of that before we started filming. How do you do timey-wimey? It's enormous fun to deposit something in a script and have the reason for it happen later. I think Peters is the most alien Doctor we've had since the show came back. Even though the essentials of the character remain the same, his heroism, his brilliance, his enthusiasm, he feels to me like much more of an outsider than Chris Eccleston or David Tennant or Matt Smith were. He's more strange and otherworldly, and that's really interesting to play with. What do you think?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Do you think you agree with that, that Peter Capaldi is a more otherworldly Doctor?
No, I think he's being consistent in the current portrayals of the Doctor we've had since the show came back, of extremely eccentric,
played very humanly, like,
and very unpredictable.
To
me, Matt Smith was the most alien so far.
Yes. Yeah, he was the one who couldn't grasp humans.
Right.
Yeah, but
and so bizarre in much of his actions.
Yeah, but the Doctor's lived for another 200 years, or probably 400 years since Matt Smith's Doctor became, the Doctor. I find that he plays it the Doctor, basically. I can't see any, it's the way he was with that tank and the playing the guitar, and he was with that audience. That's the Doctor, that's how the current Doctor is. He likes to show off when he's a bit, when he feels vulnerable. You think about just before Tennant's Doctor came to the end of his life, he did a lot of that. When he thinks he's going to die, he starts acting like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, and this is consistent. So,
Master?
Yeah. Yes?
Eddie Owen, who runs ConGT, he normally cosplays the 12th Doctor. And he's already managed to find a guitar.
Yes, I'd seen that. Yeah. And shades.
Now,
oh, is that it?
No,
yes. Oh, Debbie?
Yeah?
Did you notice people on the ConGT page were trying to ask if you're still coming?
Yes, I know. I'm still looking at the money side of things. I'm still owed a honeymoon, and it's not really fair if I go off to ConGT.
Make that the honeymoon.
How long have you been married?
8 years in a couple of weeks.
God, is that all? Blimey.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm really seriously still looking at it, but I'm just looking at the financial side of it at the moment, hoping to know by the end of the month.
So am I.
Yeah, Adam
was not looking too promising either. Yeah, anyway, can we move on with the news?
Yes. Then after that was the... Oh, come here, you stupid paper.
I don't remember that bit.
They did a special message. Canadian Broadcaster Space celebrates the return of Doctor Who this weekend. A special message from...
A special message? What? Do you mean this special message?
Hello, Canadian media and Doctor Who fans. Thank you for your continued support of the show over the years and my first year as the Doctor.
We are so proud that Doctor Who is space's highest rated show in history. We're looking forward to bringing you a new season full of new adventures.
The Doctor and Clara are back.
Saturday night.
Series.
So I did help you with that particular segue.
Yes, I did. Yes, yeah. The German broadcast date.
German?
No. Oh, will you stop it?
It's not how they speak in Germany. It's German.
I'm helping Deutsch. You out here.
Deutsch.
Yeah.
The German broadcast date of Series 9 was announced. Dubbed to German on 3rd of December 2015.
That's a long way off.
They'll all see it. Other ways before then.
By the way, if you're listening to this show in Germany, let us know. For goodness sake, you silent people. Silence will fall.
I mean, they've got to take the time to dub it in German.
I suppose so. Oh, Graham, that's quite a long time.
There are British people in Germany that listen to this show.
Yeah, but they're... But no,
yeah, Graham.
Yeah, Graham. He doesn't listen to the show anymore.
Surely they would have dubbed it quicker. Yeah, they get trash programs out quicker with dubbing,
Yeah, well, there's an app on my iPad that translates things very quickly.
Okay, and right. Tracy Ann Oberman is back as Yvonne Hartman in Torchwood.
Yay! She was a Cyberman, though.
Big Finish has announced that Tracy Ann Oberman is to return as Yvonne Hartman in Torchwood, One Rule.
She became a Cyberman?
Oh. Yeah, she's a Cyberman.
Yeah.
How'd this happen?
Yeah.
One Rule is written by Joseph Lidster, who has written episodes of Torchwood and the Sarah Jane Adventures.
They're going back into the history of Torchwood.
It's been 3 weeks since the mayor of Cardiff was killed by a shop dummy, and the fight is on to see who will replace him. Yvonne Hartman is visiting the city to retrieve an invaluable alien device. She's in charge of Torchwood 1. She's saving the British Empire and she doesn't care about local politics. But she's going to find herself caught up in that fight. There's a bloodthirsty alien stalking the streets and there's a special offer on an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet.
Yes.
It's the 26th of March 2005 and it's the day that everything changes.
Wow, so that's...
There you go, that answers that.
No John Barrowman, but Dan Starkey's in it.
Mm-hmm. And then we've had, all week, we've had the Dalek invasion of Westminster.
Have we?
Yeah, all the pictures that have been doing the rounds of them on escalator, you know, attempting escalators on the tube and waiting for buses.
And going around BBC One idents.
Elevate.
Yeah, elevate. Yeah, commuters in London would have been in for a surprise this morning. That was Thursday the 17th, as the Daleks took over London's transport network, The Masters of Earth could be seen today in and around Westminster Underground Station in celebration of their and the Doctor's return to television this weekend.
They must have been
all over Facebook. Friends of mine were posting pictures going, have you seen there's a Dalek outside my office?
I'm guessing they got special Oyster cards for them all.
I don't think they needed to pay. They would have just suckered them to death. Then we've got James Goss Torchwood Q&A.
Yes.
Do you want me to read all that?
No.
It's a lot to read.
And then Friday the 18th, Jenna Coleman to leave Doctor Who.
Yeah, apparently she said so on the BBC Radio 1 breakfast show with Nick Grimshaw. There is a clip if you go to Doctor Who News .net, but it's 3:34 long, and I don't think we can be bothered to play it on this show unless you want me to. It's shorter than our feedback. Do you want me to play it?
No.
Okay, there you go.
And then the Doctor's Meditation, again, Friday the 18th of September. BBC has released the Doctor's Meditation to UK fans on the official Doctor Who Facebook page.
Yes, it's also available on iTunes if you get the series pass.
And it's available from Google Play and Amazon.
And some people were sharing it on Facebook. Yes. And
Daily Motion.
It was on BBC America.
Mm-hmm. And Doctor Who News, Doctor Who returns to television screens around the world this weekend.
We'll forget that one because that's fairly obvious. We'll leave that one.
I must have missed that one.
Dalek invasion of Liverpool Street. I think that follows on from them going round Westminster.
Yeah, but there's some sound bites.
Shall we play the sound bites? They're only short ones.
Sure.
Here we go. Here's sound bite number one, which Dalek advises to use the handrail.
Customers are advised to use the handrail when using the escalators. Customers are advised to use the handrail when using the escalators.
I always thought it'd be easier to use the steps, actually. You try and balance on that handrail, even you're in danger of falling off.
I do apologise, listeners, because the first blaring of that was a little bit loud. I turned it down a bit afterwards, so sorry about that. Got another next one. This is Dalek. Pardon?
Yeah, the next one. The lift if you have luggage.
Yes, here we go.
Please use the lift if you have luggage.
Yeah, if you can find the lift.
Please use the lift if you have luggage.
And if there's a lift, you're quite right, yes.
Finally...
I've trawled across London with a huge suitcase. They're not very obvious.
And finally, Dalek advises on CCTV usage at the station.
For your safety and security, CCTV is in use throughout London Underground.
There you go, wasn't that fun?
I really wish that they'd done that whole please stand back from the platform as this train is
or
not stopping.
Or you will be exterminated.
You might get sucked off, that one.
Pardon?
Does that happen very often?
No, it does in Mary's world.
Sign. I'll post it. They are actual signs.
There's an early trail for the Witch's Familiar, which we're not going to play. And there's this picture that people are reading a lot into. Do you mind, Kirby?
They have, haven't they? Yes, them walking across Abbey Road, infamous Beatles-esque, because Jenna's got no shoes on, you know.
There's a Beatle in the background.
They're all reading way too much into it, I think.
No.
Deliberate. They try to make it a bit 60s-ish, but unfortunately they've got modern cars also parked in the road at the same time.
Yeah, they put a Beetle up the end just to make it obvious.
Yes,
yeah.
but that Beetle happens to have a clue in it.
Which is?
If you...
Well, that's let me, just let me, a guess. It's just a guess.
I don't think it's a guess because it's on the license plate is close to what it is in the Abbey Road, but it's different. Therefore, they did it differently.
They what?
The license plate in the Abbey Road picture, the original,
yes,
says LMV 28 if. I mean, LMW, 28 IF.
Yeah, saying that Paul McCartney would have been 28 if he was alive.
But the one in the picture, if the picture would ever load, said, come on.
I've got it.
What does it say?
Hang on, picture's not zooming in. Come
this
on.
This episode was going so well up to this point.
DWW29IF.
Sorry, could you say it, Debbie? Because I can't understand a word he's saying.
Out of Who News, as I went in, zoomed in, it just threw me out. But it does say DWW something FF. Yeah.
29 IF.
Yeah.
20 what FF?
Deliberately, and Jenna Colton is 29, and Clara will be in November.
Hmm.
So that's deliberate. That's very deliberate.
Now the picture won't show up.
Don't worry about it. We're moving on. Overnight ratings for The Magician's Apprentice are 4.58 million. Now, that will
apparently
go up,
they
so
lost
worry.
A million viewers.
Yeah, because the X Factor's on the other side. God knows why anybody would have watched that rubbish.
That's
they did.
Rubbish.
It's terrible. I haven't watched any of it now. Always used to watch it when it was the auditions, but now I can't be bothered with any of it. It's absolute tripe. What a terrible programme.
Only
Strictly Come Dancing on the other side. Of course I would watch that.
Yeah, like...
Pardon?
Master? Yes.
You know what this means? They only had 4.34 million watching. That means it's in imminent danger of being cancelled.
Yeah, obviously. There's one last thing which I'm too far away from the screen to read. It's about the press reaction to Magician's Apprentice, Debbie.
Press reaction to this year's season premiere.
Excellent.
Has been overwhelmingly positive, with most of the reviewers enjoying the storyline and the performances in the episode. Rare praise for the BBC came from the Daily Mail. Oh, God. Yeah, whose reviewer thought Doctor Who was ridiculously good, a sharp, fast, thrilling piece of historic, futuristic television, the BBC at its best. The Telegraph was less convinced by the show's storyline, but more by its lead actor. Rarely has a show been so dependent on the skills of a single actor, and Capaldi's a good one, able to bring just enough emotional depth to a comic book caper to render it dramatic. The Mirror thought the show belonged to Missy. The Express thought the episode should have been Peter Capaldi's first episode.
Yes.
And The Guardian also enjoyed Julian Beach's performance as Davros. The bleak devastation he wreaks by the end of the episode is more powerful than any madcap plot to enslave the universe that has come before. And Julian Beach returning to the role rings every drop of menace.
Excellent. Okay, we've got...
and further on, you've got to read it.
Yeah, never mind, we can move on there. Sponsors!
whoone.co.uk by any chance?
Who was it? whoone.co.uk?
Yeah. whoone.co.uk?
Yes, it is.
Gods of Winter by James Goss, which is a CD. I presume that's a book of some variety, like an audio book. We've got Mediasphere by Jonathan and Orman Kate Blum, or... they've written it, Blum, comma, Jonathan and Orman, comma, Kate. So,
yeah, Jonathan Blum and Kate Orman.
Well, why can they write it like that, for goodness sake?
I don't know.
Yes, it's a Blake Seven story. Curse of Fenric by Ian Briggs. Audio CD. That's quite expensive at 20 quid, so it must be good.
It's 5 discs worth as well.
Oh, is it? Oh, I see.
300 minutes of excellent.
Two Doctors by Robert Holmes. And... Doctor Who magazine episode, or even part, or even edition, or whatever they want to call it. Issue number, it's a magazine, 491. And like I keep saying, keep harping on about, if you want it elsewhere, other than Great Britain, earlier than you would do if you waited for it to arrive in the conventional method, buy it from whoone.co.uk.
I've got to pre-order quite a lot of stuff by the looks of it.
Yes, Christmas is coming, everybody. Well, you can also buy stuff from Lavazzi.
Yay!
Because I'm sure they've got to have some Christmas lines coming up. In fact, Meninda sent me a thank you to all Doctor Who fans message, which I did post on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group.
They've sold out of the question mark umbrella.
Oh, just really? Well, I've got one, isn't it?
Oh,
and they've changed their design of their website.
Fourth Doctor Who scarf.
You can get a scarf that Melinda has decided it doesn't look enough like the first Doctor's scarf, but for me it does. So it's like a stripy black and white scarf. It looks very much like the first Doctor's scarf.
Oh.
Among their standard range. It says, win a brand new scarf. It's not a Doctor Who scarf, but it is a competition which you could win a scarf. You could also, it says, there's a little, you know, it's about the question mark thing. There's a sock that appears to go over the end of the umbrella that you were referring to.
Yes.
Yes. I'm trying to find the Doctor Who scarf. Here it is. I've got to have some new lines on. By the way, Debbie, you coming with us to the Doctor Who Festival. Yes. Even though you may not be to have your picture taken with Peter Capaldi, Michelle Gomez.
And I'll be standing at the side looking jealous.
Nicholas Briggs. But don't fear, because they have loads of stalls there that sell lots of goodies.
I know. I am going to
when try is this?
To be calm.
Oh, 13th.
This is the Doctor Who Festival in...
No, I know. 13th. What is it? When is it?
13th of November.
13th of November. No, 14th. We're going up for the
14th. Going up on the 13th and going in on the 14th, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to book me room on Friday.
Get on with it then. They've sold out, apparently, Debbie, of the Fourth Doctor's... replica scarf, but they've also got the old...
Yeah, I found one on eBay.
the previous version is still available. So, and the Series 18 one, which I'd always wanted to have, but Deb can't ever take the hint. So, yeah. Oh, well, there's a new Doctor Who Time Lord folding umbrella officially licensed by the BBC, which is quite pretty, actually.
It is nice.
Mm. And like you said, there's the TARDIS umbrella. But you also mentioned the question mark umbrella, which I have. So I'm pleased to have it. I would recommend Lavazzi to get them back in with Christmas on the way. And the weather we've been having in this country recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You can also get the Seventh Doctor's silk paisley scarf and many, many other things. So go to lavazzi.co.uk. If you don't want to buy Doctor Who stuff and you just want to buy nice
their
stuff.
Sherlock stuff's cool.
Yeah, it's not just Sherlock. Their standard... range is really, really good outside Sherlock and Doctor Who. So have a take a look. Lavazzi.co.uk. So, next week we'll probably be recording at the same time, same place, reviewing the next episode of Doctor Who, which is called... Nobody could get an answer for that
Which is familiar.
Thank you, Andy.
Is that a double or nothing, by the way?
No, it isn't, no.
No, I got that one.
And
you doubled your nothing, didn't you?
And hopefully there'll be a special guest on next week. I'm hoping. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I was remember a name. Do a
you know, I must be getting used to Andy on the show because now when he talks, I can understand everything he says.
You're listening more quickly, that's why.
Anyway, as I was saying, we're hoping to have a special guest on next week.
Microphone?
Will you stop interrupting? Shut up.
And also, I'm not drinking, of course.
Be quiet.
That just provided snoring.
Yeah. I'll just fade you lot out in a minute if you don't shut up. Next week, we'll be hoping to have a special guest on the show, Lynn Hamilton, who's written a book about Doctor Who, and hopefully she'll be on live with us next Sunday to talk about it for a bit.
Oh,
yes, fingers crossed. But then I thought she was on this week, but I got my dates wrong. Anyway, so until then, I shall finish off my can of Stella. Andy will be slightly nearer becoming a father. Debbie will be looking beautiful as usual. Mary will be considering what innuendo she's going to be providing us with next week. And Kirby will just be bloody annoying. Until then, enjoy the weekend and the week leading up to the next episode of Doctor Who. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, fancy pants.
Bye, y'all.
Pretty Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.